We are in a campaign that we're titled Redeemed. Everybody say Redeemed. Redeemed. And what we've done in this campaign, the word that I got from the Lord real strong was he gave me multiple areas that he wanted us to tell our story. And we've been pulling people out of the congregation and say, man, just would you be willing to tell your story? And because we recognize that when you tell your story, it does two things. The Bible says in the last days they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so I believe that we are moving into those last days, at least the birth pains, as the book of Matthew 24 says. And so it's real critical that we tell our story. And so this campaign has a couple key pieces for me, and that is that we would become a group of people who are authentic and not secretive with our pain and our sinfulness and our brokenness. Because only when you're authentic can God really heal you and fix you. But it's when you're hiding those things and you're pretending. I mean, I went to a church where we were like that. We all pretended like we were holy and we all had it together, and we didn't. And so we never really got healed and we never got delivered because we pretended to be something we weren't. And so that's why my wife was always like, baby, you can't say that from the pulpit. I'm like, yes, I can. She goes, you can't say that. I was like, I would say that if I was sitting at dinner with them. And she's like, yeah, but it's being broadcast. I was like, our online family loves me. Just being honest. So redeemed, and we've done a couple. And last week, I don't know how many of you guys were here last week for our message on stealing, redeemed from stealing. And I just want to share this real quick before we get into the message today. So I returned those gas cans, by the way, Monday morning, first thing. I want to say that. And by the way, Santos, you already had replaced them. There was like 200 gas cans already at your shop. But next day, I was at Home Depot for something, and I forgot I didn't have my measuring tape on me. And so I called Miss Jamie. I was like, how wide is that thing? And she called out the numbers. And I was like, oh. So I went, and I grabbed one of the measuring tapes off the little wall. And I went and I measured it, and I put it in my pocket naturally. It's $5. Checked out, got in the truck, and started driving off. And the Spirit of the Lord went, you thief? I'm like, what? And then it's like, oh, I ran back, I turned back around, ran back in, I ran up to the counter and said, ma'am, I accidentally put this in my pocket. She goes, hold on, let me get security, you're going to jail. I was like, are you serious? She goes, no, I'm just messing with you. It happens all the time. So anyway, I just want to just openly own my sinfulness, my accidental that thievery in Jesus' name. So I returned it. I just want to make that clear in case you were wondering. So the word redeem, let's jump in today. The word redeem means to the setting free from captivity, that you've been redeemed from that. You were captive to that. That thing had a hold to you, but the Lord set you free. Buying back something stolen or lost. And, I've been teaching you this. Every member of Hill City is in love with Jesus, and Jesus is in love with you. And each one of us are on a journey with the Lord. And some of us are new to our faith. Some of us have been serving the Lord for many years. But in this journey with Jesus, it is his desire to redeem you from every wicked, sinful way. In fact, look what it says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from, what's the next word? From, say it out loud. All wickedness, and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. Jesus doesn't want to redeem you from some wickedness. He doesn't want you to be on your way to heaven, loving him, but still having a porn addiction. He wants to redeem you from all wickedness. He didn't want you to have this thing in your life that you have to pretend like you don't have, even though you love God. And this is where so many Christians are confused. Like, I love God, but I can't stop this sin. Jesus wants to redeem you. He wants to buy back. He already paid for it. He wants to redeem what was stolen. And that is what sin does, is when sin is in our life, it literally marks us and it steals our joy and our freedom. And so our key verse in this whole campaign, Psalms 107:2, and it says it like this: let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Everybody say, tell your story. Say it out loud. Say, tell your story. Turn to the person next to you and say, tell your story. And so today, In the Redeem campaign, today's teaching is on sickness and disease. Everybody say sickness and disease. So if I could just start, if you go back to the very book of Genesis, chapters 1, 2, 3, you'll find that there was this engagement with God having created Adam and Eve, and he gave them this command: of any of the trees in the garden you can eat except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve already knew good, so when Satan came to tempt them, he told them basically, why would the Lord not let you, I'm paraphrasing, why would he not let you eat of this tree of good and evil? And they said, we don't know, but he just told us not to. And he says, because we'll die. And he goes, you'll surely not die. Lucifer told him, he said, you know what'll happen is you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. They already knew good, they were experiencing good. They didn't know evil, they didn't know wickedness. And so when they said, oh, I want to be like God like that then, and they ate of the fruit of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, immediately sin entered into their being, into their DNA, into their mind, into their way of being. And they understood wickedness and knew wickedness. Prior to that, Adam and Eve did not know wickedness. They had no concept of it. It's like when you look down at that little grandbaby, you know, that's you know, 6 months old, and you're like, oh my God, you're so precious. And then you start thinking about, I hope you don't end up like your daddy. Oh, dear Jesus. I mean, because they don't know evil until they grow up and are starting to able to understand this good and evil thing, and we all choose evil at times in our life. See, sin brought destruction with it, and part of that destruction is sickness and disease. See, sickness and disease is the result of man's sin. That's what it is. Sickness and disease is the result of the fallen world. There was no disease in the garden. There was no sickness in the garden. Pre-sin, pre-Adam and Eve sin, they had no cancer markers in their body. There was no corruption in their DNA. They had nothing that would lead to diabetes or cancer in their body. They were completely beautiful and perfect. There were no poisons in the foods they consumed. There were no pollutants in the air that they breathed. And there were no pollens that the plants gave off to give them allergies. There was no premature balding. Come on, somebody. There was no bladder infections. There were no STDs. There was no need for glasses or contacts until they sinned. And sin brought brokenness into this wicked world. How can you serve a God that lets little babies die of cancer? God didn't give them cancer. When we rebelled, the world then had this broken, sinful way inside of it. Adam and Eve propagated the knowledge of good and evil. Evil and rebellion became a part of their DNA, and they passed that on to their children and their children's children's children. And so we are born in sin. What we mean by that is it's more natural to sin than it is to live righteously. That's why there's such a struggle as a believer. I come to Christ and I say, Lord, please forgive me. And he forgives me. He accepts me as his own. And my name is written in his Lamb's book of life. And when I die, I'm going to heaven. But this sin nature is still there. And I've got to learn on a daily basis to crucify it. And to crucify it, I'm not going to say that to them. Lord, give me strength, because I want to punch them in the face right now and lay them out. But that's my sin nature. And then on the other hand, I have the Holy Spirit going, no, come on now, peace and joy. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with me is I've got this sin nature warring, as the Apostle Paul said, against my spirit nature, because I've been redeemed, but there's still areas in my life that still need to be fixed or redeemed, if you will. And sickness and disease came into the earth because of Adam and Eve's rebellion. But Jesus. Come on, somebody say, but Jesus. But Jesus. And when Jesus came to the earth, in John 10:10, he said it like this. He said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Everybody say, to the full. Jesus came so that you can have life and life to the full. We understand brokenness. We understand that side now of wickedness, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know evil. We feel evil. Evil is in our world. Evil. And listen, this is what's foolishness about the concept that all we got to do is end world hunger and we'll fix all the problems, or all we got to do is end poverty and we'll fix all the problems. No, evil is not something that a government does or not. Evil is what's in me. Evil was what in you. So Jesus, to fix evil, did not come and start orphanages, didn't come and fix all the cancer. What he did was he came and he fixed humanity, because in us is evil. He died on a cross so that evil could die inside of us and be removed. Are you with me? Say yes. This is what the blood of Jesus does. It's not, it starts with every one of us getting free. Because let me just say, if you had a better system, evil people would get up in that system and mess the system up. We keep thinking if we can fix systems. No, no, no. We've got to fix the heart and minds of men. And only Jesus can do that. And so he comes, and look what he says that he does in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering with severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he, say the word with me, healed them. Say it again. And he healed them. This is my Jesus. This is my Jesus. We concentrate so many times on what didn't get healed that we miss the point that he heals and that he sets free and that it is his desire to see you and I free from sickness and disease. And so what I wanted to do today is I've got a precious, one of our head intercessor here at the church, and her story of how God redeemed her from sickness and disease. Would you give your attention to the screens as Miss Sandy tells her story?
My name is Sandy Alexander, and I want to tell you how the Lord redeemed me for cancer. I grew up in Beaumont, Texas. I met my husband at a citywide hymn sing. Well, I would walk by him and my heart would just pound out of my chest because he was dark and handsome. He wasn't tall, but he was dark and handsome, okay? I think that all of our lives, he was always wanting to be a pastor. And he went to a denominational seminary. When we got to almost the end of that, he got kicked out of school, and it just devastated him. He started drinking. As he drank and as he kept on, well, I went to these house meetings, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And so God just did a change in me. Well, as he drank, he just kept getting worse and worse and worse and stuff. And it was just, it was devastating to me to see him do this. But that's what happened. And as he did, God showed me that if I would speak the word over him, God's word does not return void. It always accomplishes that for which it's sent. So I'm telling you, I spoke that word 21 years. I couldn't make it happen. He had to decide for himself. But when he decided, God's word had just cut asunder all of the stuff that did not belong in his life. So I'm thankful for the word. I saw it with my own eyes, so I know how powerful the word is. When he passed away, he was 18 years sober. When we went through his cancer episode, where he went and was diagnosed with tongue cancer, and it was horrible. And I told him, I said, I just give you permission to step over. But I said, because I can't hold you here anymore and you're in such agony, I don't want to see that. I just want you to do whatever. But I knew, because of what God had said to me, that it was time for him to go. But I wanted him to know that I was going to be okay, because that's what he was holding on to. We were married for 46 years before he stepped over into heaven.
And you start feeling bad, and you start going to the doctors to check, and then they bring you the report that you got cancer. Tell me a little bit about your journey through that.
Well, the mammogram is always the point. And they, you know, called me and said that they needed to do another one. At first, I was in denial. I couldn't believe that this was happening to me. And I was told that I needed to have a lumpectomy and radiation. Due to the radiation that my husband had previously, I did not want to go through that.
You got on your face.
I got on my face.
Talked to Dad.
And he said, you just stand on my word. You stand on my word, and I'm going to bring you through this. And I said, will it?
Tell about what that means, to stand on the word. What does that really look like? What did that look like?
Okay, well, it just meant confessing the word, speaking it out of my mouth on a, like I'm talking about out loud. November of 2023 is when I felt like that's it's sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered.
Did a doctor confirm that?
A doctor did. It was my gynecologist, and she examined me, and she said, Sandy, everything, she said, is symmetrical. There's nothing there. I know. I'm just like, thank you, Jesus, because I'm healed. There are times that I look back on those times that when he healed him from the edge of the brain tumor, and then he didn't heal him from the cancer, and then he healed me from the breast cancer, I had to come to the place where I realized that in God's sovereignty, he knows what's best. And even though we don't understand, but he heals in different ways. And we have to be able to understand that and comprehend it to the point where we're just willing to just trust him. If he can redeem me from sickness and disease, he can redeem you.
Miss Sandy, right here. Stand up, Miss Sandy, so we can all see. She's right here on the second. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for sharing your story. It gives us all hope and strength. Amen. You know, the most powerful part that I wanted to be sure that was captured was when she walked through believing for her husband to be healed, and he wasn't healed on this side of the Great Divide, and he died of cancer. And then a couple years later, she's diagnosed with cancer. Imagine that faith struggle. So when they say we need to do radiation, what she said was like, no, you're not doing radiation on me, because I watched you do that on my husband, and I don't have faith for that. So I would rather just fall on my face and cry out to God, and he can either take me through cancer or he can heal me, but I'm going to trust in him. And I'm happy to report she's sitting here on the second row as our chief intercessor, healed of the Lord, because God is good. And so for those of you suffering with sickness and disease, I'm going to teach you today how to cultivate your healing, how to cultivate the redemption that God has for you from sickness and disease. I want you to take good notes. You're going to have to share this with somebody one day. Even if you yourself don't walk through struggling through sickness and disease, this seems to be one of the great plays of the enemy to discourage the believer and to destroy life. And so I want to give you a couple thoughts. Would you write these down with me today as I kind of coach you from the Word of God, cultivating your redemption from sickness and disease? The first thing I would teach you to do is break from destructive health habits. You got to break from destructive health habits. We've been in the one-year Bible together, those of you that have joined in with us, and we've been reading through the Bible app, the one-year Bible, and the last few weeks kind of camped out in the book of Leviticus, which is not very exciting. But in it, God is taking his people Israel. He's brought them out of Egypt, and he's giving them some commands on how they're to live, because he loves them, he protects them. And we find throughout the book of Leviticus, he begins to give them dietary commands. Don't eat this with the hoof like this. Don't eat shrimp, pork. He lays this all out for them. It's not so much a religious duty that's going to make them more spiritual. It is about their health. I want you to think about eating pork in ancient times without refrigeration. The disease that that type of meat could carry quickly and how it spoils. And so God literally gives them a health dietary plan so that they would be stronger than all their enemies around them, that they would be healthier than all their enemies around them. And I just would encourage you that your health is a critical component to be sure that sickness and disease doesn't destroy you. In fact, just give you a few statistics. Here in the United States, unhealthy diet contributes to almost 680,000 deaths a year are completely connected to nutrition. Obesity rate and disease such as heart disease, cancer, and type 2 diabetes. In the last 30 years, obesity rates have doubled in adults here in the United States, tripled in children, and quadrupled in adolescents. I found this study by Dr. Stephen Kopecky. He's of the Mayo Clinic, great research doctor. He is a preventative cardiologist, and he states it like this. He says, things like smoking and genetics put us at risk for developing different diseases, but neither are the biggest risk factors. Nutrition is now the number one cause of early death and early disease in our country and the world. Dr. Kopecky says it like this, having genes for disease will increase your risk 30-40%, but having bad lifestyle for disease will increase your risk 300-400%. Smoking, drinking, bad diet, about 57% of the calories we consume here in the United States every day in this country are ultra-processed foods, which are leading to the sickness and disease that we have. So, again, this is not an infomercial for my new manna bread that I'm going to sell out in the foyer, but it is a true fact. And I believe sometimes we're like, oh, God, heal us. And he's like, I'm trying, but you keep putting that poison in your body, man. I'm really trying to help you. But you just keep putting that poison. I'm doing all I can, but you're not doing what you can. So my first coaching point, and we see it in Scripture, that God himself gave his people healthy eating habits so that they could sustain in ancient times when other people were full of sickness and disease. And he started with giving them a dietary plan. And so the first thing I would coach you on, if you want to be redeemed from the sickness and disease, is break from destructive health healthy eating and bad habits of eating and smoking and drinking. That's going to say one of our elders, they were looking a couple years ago at so many doctor visits, and they were blood pressure off the chart and this kind of stuff. And I'll never forget, they came to me. They said, Pastor, the Lord's speaking to us. We're going to go vegan. And I was like, dear Jesus. Because I'm thinking, now every time I go out to eat with them, I got to order them something. And I'm a good Cajun boy. Like, we eat it all. Someone asked me the other day, y'all eat anything? I said, yeah, but we deep fry it. That's why, like all you Japanese people, y'all eat it raw. Like, that's messed up. We'll eat it, but we're going to deep fry it and batter it. Come on, somebody. We're going to put it in a boil. We're going to put a lot of hot sauce on it. And so you talk about a person like me who's had to say, okay, Lord, I will submit because I don't want to end up, you know, of early disease and sickness and fighting against my health because I'm foolish. And so that'd be the first thing I'd teach you. You still with me? Say yes. You still love me? Say yes. Here's the second thing I would teach you to do if you want to see redemption from sickness and disease. I'd teach you to fast and pray. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, God is rebuking the Israelites because they had this fasting habit that they had picked up that he had told them to do. But they were fasting, and their fasting wasn't transforming anything because the attitude and the spirit by which they were fasting was evil. They would fast it as a religious duty, but they were still hating on each other, fighting with each other. And in Isaiah 58, 6, he says it like this. He says, I would rather you fast like this. He says, this is the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke, whether it be perversion, whether it be sickness and disease. When you fast, we're fasting, oh God, because I want to see this thing broken in my life. I want to see this thing broken off of my family. Fasting and praying does not make you more spiritual. Fasting makes you mad. Because we're addicted to things that we need to fast. And what we're doing is we're breaking from them and saying, Lord, I'm going to commit this 2 days to you, this 3 days to you. And just, and Lord, and just filter out all the junk out of my life. So I'm going to fast, and I'm going to fast and pray. And if you don't have a fasting and prayer lifestyle, I would encourage you, do some research on fasting and praying. You can go back and listen to some of my messages on teaching you about fasting and praying. Fasting and praying, I've kept that in my life consistently since I was 15 years old. And I promise you, I would point to fasting and praying for how I know. Because when you fast and pray, what happens? The Lord starts speaking to you on some things. Because you start killing the flesh through fasting, and you're now able to kind of hear the voice of the Lord a little bit better. Are you with me today? Say yes. Here's the third thing I would teach you to do, and you heard Miss Sandy teach all about that, and that is I would teach you to proclaim the word. Proclaim the word of the Lord. Psalms 107, 19. Let me just tell you what the Bible says. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word. He did what? What did he do? Say it out loud. He did what? He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Miss Sandy pointed that out in her story. Her story was, the Lord, when I got the diagnosis and I got the plan that the medical profession had for me, I did not like the plan. I was concerned about it, whether it was her own personal fear, whether it was something she had a struggle believing in. But instead, what she said was, I will stand on every word about healing and deliverance in the word. And what you saw that those papers, she has a binder with every scripture that she's personally had typed out, every scripture on healing and every scripture on freedom. She said it typed out, and every morning and all throughout the day, she opens that and she begins to quote it over her life. I am healed of the Lord. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. She quotes it. Let me give you a couple scriptures that she probably had in her book, like 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. And one of the things that Sandy knows to do, I know to do, is I personalize it. It says, he himself bore, and I personalize it, my sin in his body on the cross, so that Adam McCain might die to sins, and live for righteousness. By his wounds, Adam McCain has been healed. It has happened because of what he's bought and paid for. And you apply that. How about this? Psalms 103, verse 2. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of Adam's sins and heals all of Adam's diseases, who redeems Adam's life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion. So that's what she's doing every day. She's speaking that word. Why? Because the Bible said he sent his word to accomplish that which it's supposed to go forward and do, to heal us, to deliver us, to set us free. Now, I know some of you struggle in your faith to believe that the word of God is the actual word of God. But let me just explain to you how this works. Let's say that you robbed someplace, you got caught, and you stood before a judge. You're going to have your attorney, defense attorney. There's going to be the prosecution attorney or the DA representing the government. And they're going to sit there and they're going to prosecute you and back and forth. And you're going to try to defend yourself. And at the end of that whole process, there's going to be a judge standing there. And that judge has been given all power to make the decision on what's about to happen in your life. All power. And when that judge says, I sentence you to 5 years, pa-pow, and he hits the gavel, or she hits the gavel. It's done. It's done. From that point forward, there's no more arguing about it. At that point, all parties involved submit to the judgment and the word spoken. The police submit to it. They grab you and they take you over to the jail cell, to the prison. The prison guards submit to that. Your attorney submits to that. Your mama and daddy submit to that. Elon Musk submits to that. It's been judged. It has been set forward. When God says it, it's been done. It's established. It will do what it says to do. Now, whether you and I submit to it or believe it is where he gave us free will. And this is where our problem is at. Is that in our free will, we go, I don't know. So his word loses power, not because it doesn't have his power and authority behind it, because we don't receive it and believe it. And again, I just need you to understand that. Because if not, then why have the Bible? Just so you can have a set of rules to live by? It's his holy word spoken to us. And it is what he has deemed to be so. And when you and I submit to it and say, Lord, by your word, what was spoken. And what I do is I say, every demonic force, every fallen angel, every force of the brokenness of this world that's against my life, I command you to submit to what my daddy said. Because he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And not only that, but he sent his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And my Jesus died on that cross. And by dying on that cross, he didn't just pay for my sins, he also paid for my healing. By his stripes, I am healed. It's already been paid for, so all I need to do is go get that. Excuse me, it was already paid for. I'm here to pick up my freedom. I'm here to pick up my, I'm waiting for Amazon to show up at the door because it was already sent. It was already paid for. I'm just waiting for it to get here, or I'm going and getting it, whatever I need to do, because my daddy has already sent the word to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. The problem is in our faith, because we saw some hyper-faith person name it and claim it. I tell you now, if you claim a Mercedes, it's going to come to you. And we're like, ooh, we know that ain't right. And so we've seen people misappropriate that. And so even some of you, even with me teaching you what the word says, you're like, I'm triggered right now. I watched a YouTube video on this. I watched a documentary on this. Friend, let me tell you the truth of the word. He is the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. Jesus lived out what the Father commanded. And he's given us his word to apply to our own lives. And when it comes to sickness and disease, this is where folks miss it. They don't apply the word of God. Here's the fourth piece I would teach you in receiving your regeneration from sickness and disease. I would teach you to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Follow the leading. Does not the word tell us? Jesus told his own disciples, I'm sending you the comforter, and he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will lead you. When you're going through something with sickness and disease, what you need to do is say, Holy Spirit, lead me to the right doctors. I believe in doctors and physicians. I thank God for their life commitment. But at the end of the day, they will tell you, we're just practicing medicine. And what works for 90% of the people may not work for you. We're doing our best, but we're not God. And this is why you got to say, Holy Spirit, lead me to the right doctors, lead me to the right physicians, lead me in the right direction. If you're sitting in a doctor's office and they're telling you something, and something inside of you starts going, I don't know. Instead of being pressured to just go, I will give you my body, you should say, you know what? Let me thank you for that. I'm gonna do some more research, and I'm gonna do some more checking. Because at the end of the day, you're responsible for you. I tell people that all the time when it comes to, like, you know, I when I'm witnessing to people, I meet people out and stuff, and I'll get to, hey, do you know the Lord? And I've had this, I've probably had this 1,000 times. You know, I used to be a Christian, but I went to that church, you know, and that preacher guy, he was sleeping with a bunch of women, and he's a hypocrite, and I tell you what, it's all fake. And I always tell him the same thing. I said, well, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to die eventually, and then you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And he's gonna say, man, I died on the cross. Why did you reject me? And you're gonna go into your whole little spiel that you've been saying for the 80 years of your life. You know, I'm a preacher, and Jesus is gonna go, what does that have to do with you and me? What does that have to do with you and me? I'm dealing with that dude when he comes up for judgment. But what does that have to do with you and me? Are you with me? So that poor doctor's doing their best. But you just, why would you let the Spirit of the Lord lead you? Let the Spirit of the Lord, that's what Miss Sandy said. I just didn't have peace on that. And I have personal life position in this. Years ago, my son, when he was just a young boy, probably 11, 12, 13 range, he started having seizures, the grandma seizures. When it first happened in the middle of the night, I thought every demon in hell had come against my family. And I couldn't get him to come out of this state. I was in his bedroom at, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning and praying, and he was in this state having a seizure, and I couldn't get him out of it. And then he had another major episode at school. It was greatly embarrassing, and they rushed him through, in the ambulance to the hospital. I thank God. I thank God I live in Dallas, Texas. Oh my Jesus, we've got the best hospitals and the best doctors. And we ended up at the Children's Hospital, and they were so good and so sweet and so kind. And man, they started running tests. And I'm telling you, these people had machines that had machines. I mean, they had more stuff. They wired that boy up. He looked like he looked like a modern robot. He had stuff coming off of him. And we had to take the monitor thing home, and he slept through the night, and it was monitoring his brain waves and all that. And then after a few weeks, they made a diagnosis, and they set Jamie and I down, and they said, you know, this is what, and they came up with some name. And I'm like, sir, you're going to have to bring it to Cajun land. You're going to have to bring it down. And he said, have you ever had so many apps open on your phone or programs going on your computer that it locked down your computer? I said, yes, I have done that. And that's what's happening to your son. He's got so many things going on in his mind that it literally is just shutting him down. He's going into these seizures. They said, so we're going to put him on this medication. And we were like, oh, okay, sounds great to us. We don't know. We've never had this. Okay. And we put him on this medication. And within hours, wouldn't you say, Jamie, he became like a zombie. Like you couldn't hold a conversation with him. Like all but drooling out of his mouth. Because this medication basically was to slow him down. Well, you don't know my wife. My wife's like, I don't think so, devil. And so we had already had experience with a company called Manatech, and they have a plant-based, I'm never going to say it right, but a supplemental kind of health product, if you will. Did I say any of that right, Jamie? You want to give me the right verbiage? There you go. We got one of my friends anyway. So, yeah, and so we had already seen Pop get basically, I don't want to use the word too lightly because what they went through as a company, but basically Pop had overcome cancer, and we completely convinced it was because of this health supplement that we got him on, and working with the doctors as well with their medicine. And so we said, let's put our son on that. And so we put him on these glyconutritions, and Miss Jamie would take his medicine, and she would give him that, and then she'd put him on these glyconutritions as well. And so we started seeing real response to it. And then so Miss Jamie started dialing down his medicine and started bringing up the glyconutritions, and so we saw real response. So when we went back for our two-week checkup, they were like, look at how well he's responding to the medication. And Miss Jamie was like, yes, oh, praise the Lord. So grateful for you guys. And so she brought it down from 100% of their medication down to 75%, and she brought this 25% and brought it up to where it was down to, she was giving him like a little chip off the pill. And every couple of days or something, and upping this. And within a matter of months, am I getting some of this right? Because she always tells me I got to get the details right. After a few months, he's completely different kid. He's not having any seizures. So we sit, let me finish the rest of the story. So we sit down with the doctors, and the doctors are like, we told you this was a great plan. We're so happy to see how well your son's responded to our diagnosis and our plan of action. And we're just like, yes, yes, yes. And then the other doctor goes, but we've noticed you haven't refilled the prescription. And I think I was flying somewhere, right? You were face to face with him by yourself. Was I out of town preaching or something? I don't remember. I just remember, what I do remember is Jamie calls me. She is ticked. And she's like, when she gets really mad, she cries and like just gets amped, but crying mad kind of thing. And she calls me and she goes, they just threatened us. I said, what do you mean? See, those sweet doctors now just said, I had to tell them that I'm not using your medication anymore because we're seeing a better result with these alternative medicines that we're using. And they're threatening us to maybe call on us. And she was like, what do we do? I'm like, where do they live? Who are they? Get me their address. And then I repented. I prayed in tongues for a little bit. Calm down, came back into a place, because you're messing with baby, right? I've seen some of y'all's mama bear. I love y'all, but dear Jesus, please get that thing. Ooh, Jesus. And so that came up out of me. Papa Bear came up. Oh, no, tell. What is this, communism? I mean, all that stuff that we all do. And we just started praying for them, kept praying for our family, and it kind of all just settled down. And I'm telling you, my son has never had a seizure ever since. Come on, Jesus. Be led by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord will lead you. He will lead you. You say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Show me what to do here. We're just overwhelmed with this. We're not sure. We're listening to the doctors, and they're good people, and they're doing their best, and they have our best interests in mind. But at the end of the day, you're one of hundreds that they probably see in a week. So you got to take care of listening to the Holy Spirit yourself, working with them the best you can. Isn't that just good advice? Can I just get, that's a good word right there. I'm just telling you. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, and I love you so much. And remember, I told you a couple weeks ago what happened with Dodie Osteen, Joel Osteen's mama. Years ago, I'll never forget when she testified. She had, some of you didn't hear the story, so I'll tell it again, and I'm preaching, so I get to. And so, years ago, she had been diagnosed with cancer. They told her she had, you know, months to live. She went to every doctor. They couldn't heal her of it, fix it up. She went to every healing evangelist. They laid hands, nothing. And one day, just in her prayer time, the Lord said, hey, since you're going to go ahead and be with me soon, you probably need to make some things right. Go to every person that you have hatred in your heart for, offense in your heart for, and just repent to them for hating them, even though they did you wrong, whatever. And so she made a list of 10 people. The Holy Spirit showed her 10 people. She called them, contacted them, went and said, listen, I just want to make this right. I want to repent to you for being angry at you. They, in return, said, yeah, I just want to, I'm sorry for the conflict, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. After she finished that list of 10, God gave her a list of 10 more names. She was just in her prayer time. She wrote down 10 more people. I mean, she said she went all the way back to junior high when they called her fat, you know, and found some little person. Here she is in her, you know, in her 60s trying to find, you know, somebody from junior high. And she said when she finished that list, she was so free in her heart and mind, and she went back for her checkup, and they couldn't find the cancer anymore. So my point is this. Follow the Holy Spirit. He will lead you and guide you because we want redemption from sickness and disease. Amen? That's good. I'm preaching today. Let's go. Number five. Here's the fifth thing that I would coach you on, and that is have church leaders and members pray with you. James chapter 5, verse 14. I'm just teaching you the word, okay? This is not Adam McCain's opinion. Teaching you the word. James 5 and 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. We're going to do that at the end of service today. And pray the prayer offered in faith, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. Pastor Josiah, who works in our small group area, Pastor Josiah sits on this front row, he and his beautiful little wife, and what they've been through with the loss of a child, and now they have their precious blessing, Elisha. But Pastor Josiah has a deaf ear in one of his ears. And so if you're ever talking to him and he does this to you, it's not because he's eyeballing you, it's because he can't hear out of this one, so he's got to turn the good one to you. And he always, Pastor Sean claps real loud when he claps, so Josiah puts the deaf ear next to him. I was asking Katrina. I was like, Katrina, does Josiah, do you wake him up, you know, getting the baby out? She goes, no, he turns over on his good ear on the pillow and he can't hear anything that's going on in the house. But every other Sunday or so, I walk over to him and I lay hands on him. I agree with him for that. He needs a creative miracle. So when he was born, he had something missing in that ear and he just can't hear. But he believes, and we stand in faith every day. We believe God for it. And you know, in time, or in heaven. Either way, it doesn't matter. But if you're suffering with something, call on the elders. Let them pray with you. We just keep praying and praying and praying. We're believing for it to happen. And at some point, the Lord knows it's all in his hands. There's another scripture that I teach you guys about agreement in Matthew 18, 19. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth, everybody say two, on earth. Yeah, so not dead people. Stop praying to dead saints. They're not helping you. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. This word agreement means to come into alignment. And this is the problem. You're getting people to pray for you that don't really agree with you. They're like, oh, Lord, maybe if you could, if by some chance we can get your attention, maybe heal them. You need to have people pray with you that will agree with you. I'm standing in agreement with about 10 people in our church right now about this area of sickness and disease. And every time I see them, I say, I'm in agreement. It's going to happen. You're going to get healed. I'm in agreement. But I don't come into agreement until I ask them, what are you believing for? And then I go, I agree with that. That's the word of the Lord. Let's agree. But I'll have people all the time, and you'll see this. You'll tell me something. I'm like, I ain't in agreement with that. I ain't in agreement that your ex-wife dies. I'm not going to, she just needs to die. No, I'm not in agreement with that. No, sir. I'm not in agreement with that. Find someone who loves Jesus like you do in this congregation, in your small group, and say, would you come into agreement with me? I'm taking so much medication that I'm having a hard time waking up in the mornings, and I just want this thing to be done. Would you come into agreement with me? And when that happens, let me tell you what happens. When I'm in agreement with people, I'll be praying for them early in the morning, late in the evening, or reading my Bible, and the Lord will give me a word for them, and I'll text them. Hey, the Lord just told me this about your situation. And they'll text me, dear God, Pastor, how did you know? That's the Lord. I needed encouragement. I was about to give up. That's why you need people in agreement with you. And so call on the elders. Call on the leaders of the church. Have other members pray with you. Have them come into agreement with you. Are you still with me? Say yes. All right, let me bring you to the last one. We got to close out. Number six, and that is you need to learn to trust God. Trust God. Trust the Lord. Let me ask you a couple questions. Does God love you?
Yes.
No, that was weak. Does God love you?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Does God have your best interest in mind?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Is God God?
Yes.
If God is God and God loves you and God's got your best interest in mind, why are you struggling so much? It's a faith issue. You have a belief problem. He's God. He's God. No matter what, and I'm not cursing, no matter what hell on earth you're in right now, he's God. He loves you. He's got your best interest in mind. Even if you got yourself into it, he loves you so much that he's going to find a way to get you out of it because he loves you. He said, I didn't do nothing. I don't know why I got there. Does he love you? Does he have your best interest in mind? Is he God? I'm always encouraged, those of you that grew up in church and went to Sunday school, you know the little story about the fiery furnace and the Hebrew boys that were thrown in the fiery furnace because they would not bow. Everybody remember that one? Some of you haven't read that yet. Keep reading. And as the king is turning up the heat to kill these Hebrew boys because they won't bow and call the king God because they only have one God, our God, Jehovah. They cry out to him and they say, O king, our God will deliver us from your fiery furnace. And then they make this statement that most Christians do not behold in their own heart. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow. That's where I'm at in my walk. I will not bow to sickness and disease. God will deliver me from your fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, I will not bow because he's God. And I trust him because he loves me and he's God. So much so I trust him that God, if you have to sacrifice my life at an early age so that that will do something over here on your giant chessboard, if you need to sacrifice me as a rook to move the queen of the enemy out over here so that we can win, I'm available. I'm available. The Apostle Paul, the Bible says, had a thorn in the flesh, a problem. I want to pick up real quick in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. And this is Paul's writing. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But, everybody say but. But he said to me, so he had a word. He had a word. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Let me help you doctrinally. Paul said, God, please deliver me from this. Now, scholars argue back and forth. Some thought that it was dysentery of some sort, but most of us land on the concept that his thorn in the flesh was probably the thing with his eyes. He was losing his eyesight. In fact, multiple times he alludes to, I actually wrote this one in my own handwriting, thus the large letters, but most of which he dictated as the Lord gave him, and someone else wrote down the letters that he was having written. And so he's crying out to God to be delivered from it. And then God speaks to him and says, hey, buddy, I'm not going to heal your eyes. And I'll tell you why. Because my grace is all you need. In your weakness, I'm going to do something huge. In your brokenness, you have no idea how many people I'm going to touch. I'm going to be there, and I've got your best interest in mind, buddy. I know that's what you want, and I really want that for you too, but it's not in the best interest of what needs to happen on the earth today. And guess what? But I'm going to give you grace in the middle of it. If you'll just receive my grace, say, Lord, I want you to heal me. I'm asking you for it. But if you don't, I trust you. I trust you. And this is the problem. And I get asked this all the time. How come they didn't get healed? How come they didn't get healed? I don't know, but I trust in the Lord. I just trust he loves me. He loves humanity so much so that he sent his only begotten son to die for them. for us. And so I don't know. I don't know. There's a whole checklist. Why is your car not driving? I don't know. Do you have oil? Is the battery dead? There's a whole checklist. I don't know. Maybe we could go through all that, but at the end of the day, do you trust the Lord? And that's what I would coach you on. When it comes to redeeming sickness and disease in your life, first step is you need to say, Lord, if there's anything that I'm putting in my body that's keeping my health from being in right order, Lord, would you help me? Would you give me strength? You need to move into there to quoting the word, fasting and praying. These are all beautiful pieces that I see throughout Scripture for redeeming and being a part of God's plan to redeem you from sickness and disease. But at the end of the day, and I'm just telling you this, we have a precious young couple that has been in the hospital with their little baby girl with cancer for the last year and a half. Is it a year and a half now? What are we moving on? A year? It's just only 6 months? Okay, it seems like forever. And let me tell you something, they're up and down. They've got to deal with the emotion of today her markers are low, today it's better, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the only thing I could coach him on was trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. The Bible says Job did not curse God. He continued to trust the Lord in the midst of his pain. Trust the Lord. He loves you. He has your best interest in mind. You do your part, let him do his part. And if your healing happens like Sandy's husband when you get to heaven, then so be it. But I will not bow and I will not give myself into unbelief. Are you with me today? Say yes.